I wonder how many people who are tuned into our service today have heard pastors preach sermons before that have focused on that passage we just heard from Mark's Jesus story, and the story of the widow's mite, and have heard pastors say, "Be like the widow." I wonder how many of you have heard pastors say, "Give like the widow. Hold nothing back. Give sacrificially. Give until you can feel it." Now, I'm not actually going to ask you to respond on the Facebook page. Let me know whether you've heard that before. But I wouldn't be surprised if more than just a few of you have heard sermons like that. And over the course of my ministry, I've preached sermons like that. Sermons that have held up the widow as an example to follow. Sermons that have challenged people to take a look at what they're holding back, what they're holding on to, rather than giving their all to God. I mean, even the children's talk today had a hint of that, didn't it? But you know, the more I reflect on the passage, the more I find myself starting to question, is that the main point of the story? Is that primarily what Jesus was saying? Now, don't get me wrong. My reason for asking that question isn't to try to make the passage easier. I mean, with that other interpretation, it can be a difficult passage. But it's not to make the passage easier. It's not to make myself feel a bit more comfortable when I read it. There's always a danger of us doing that, isn't there? Ignoring the difficult parts of passages or reinterpreting them to kind of lessen their impact, make them kind of less in your face and less challenging. A pastor friend of mine I was talking to recently, and he was saying that when he comes across a passage that could have a couple of different meanings, one more difficult than the other, he feels he better pay attention to the one that is more difficult, because his natural tendency would be to go with the other one. I think it's a danger for all of us, isn't it? To gravitate towards the comfortable and keep the uncomfortable as far away as possible. Because of that, I'm somewhat wary of saying that perhaps Jesus isn't asking me to be like the widow. Perhaps he's not saying, hold nothing back to God, because I still do believe that God doesn't want me to hold back anything from him. You know the story of the rich young ruler. You know that when that the rich young ruler ended up going away sad because he was unable to give up everything to follow Jesus. And yet, even though I believe that Jesus calls us to hold nothing back from him, I still don't think that's the primary emphasis of our reading today. I'm not convinced Jesus is here just simply saying, be like the widow. But neither do I think Jesus is saying anything less challenging. I don't think that what Jesus was saying is going to be any easier for us to follow. This morning, I'd like us to spend some time reflecting on the passage, opening ourselves up to what God might be wanting to say to us. And I'm going to title the sermon today, Part of the Solution or Part of the Problem. Now, in the middle of our passage today from Mark, Mark shared these words with us. Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins, worth only a few cents. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all that she had to live on." Now, I have to say, it would be very easy for us to kind of hold those verses in isolation. Be easy for us to kind of see those verses as being self-contained. And when we do that, It may well appear as though Jesus is saying, be like the woman. He's holding her up like a model. See what she did, now go and do the same. But I think we have to ask ourselves, why was the widow in such a situation? Why is it that she only had two small copper coins? I think we have to ask ourselves, what else was going on in the story that we are failing to see? You know, I think it's always important for us to remember that scriptural passages are never contextless. Not only does the context of what was going on in and around the time have a bearing on the passage, but even the writers of the stories contribute to the context as they piece different stories together to those who were going to be reading the stories later on. So rather than holding up verses 41 to 44 in isolation, I think we need to examine what else was going on in and around Jesus. And what it was that Mark included in the context that might have some bearing on our passage today. And by doing that, it becomes very clear that much of Jesus' attention at this time isn't focused as much on a widow as it is focused on some of the religious people of the day. Now, even though last week's sermon didn't focus on our gospel reading for the day, but rather focused on the story of Ruth and Naomi, you may still remember that in last week's gospel, a teacher of the law came up to Jesus to ask him a question. Remember the question that he asked Jesus. Of all the commandments, which is most important? Well, Jesus' response to the question was, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And when the teacher of the law heard that, he said, well done, teacher. You've answered it well. And then Jesus then said to that teacher of the law, he said, you are not far from the kingdom of God. Now, if you know anything of the kind of general interaction between Jesus and the average teacher of the law, you'll know that the relationship that they kind of shared was often tenuous. Often Jesus and the religious leaders were in conflict with one another. But last week's reading showed us that Jesus doesn't just brush everyone with all the same strokes. Even though many religious leaders were far from the kingdom of God, not all of them were. Like that one that approached him with that very important question. But equally, just because that religious leader wasn't far from the kingdom of God, Jesus wasn't prepared to give all other religious leaders a free pass and assume that they were as close as their colleague was. Last week, Jesus was speaking to a religious leader about loving God completely and loving neighbor as much as you love yourself. In our passage today, Jesus is no longer speaking to a teacher of the law, but rather he's speaking to his disciples about the teachers of the law. Because many of them were following neither of those two laws of loving God and loving neighbor. Listen to what Jesus said to his disciples. He said, watch out for the teachers of the law. They like to walk around in flowing robes and be greeted with respect in the marketplaces and have the most important seats in the synagogues and the places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses and for a show make lengthy prayers. These men will be punished most severely. Now, can you ever remember a time when you felt really good when somebody noticed you? Has there ever been a time when somebody pointed something out about you to others and it made you fill with pride? Perhaps you can remember back to school days, getting a good mark and a teacher pointing out it out to the rest of the class. Or perhaps you did something at work and your boss brought it up at the staff meeting. Or you volunteered somewhere and people commended you for it. It can feel so good, can't it, to when other people notice. It can feel so good when you get recognition from people around you sometimes. Well, as much as it can feel good to us, it felt good to the teachers of the law back in the days of Jesus. It felt so good to them to be noticed. So good to them to receive recognition from others. Getting greetings of respect in the marketplace almost had the same effect as kind of like a drug fix for a drug addict. Gave the teacher of the law such a high. And yet Jesus made it clear that while those people were thought of highly by the people around them, they didn't come close to being thought of highly by God. Well, and why we ask? Well, Jesus tells us in verse 40, he said, they devour widows' houses, and for a show, make lengthy prayers. Here again, understanding context helps. Because if we don't know what was going on in those days, we're not going to really know what Jesus was talking about. Now, back in Jesus' day, the teachers of the law, they were the legal experts. They were the lawyers that dealt with the religious law. As teachers of the law, they had a role to play in the religious and legal lives of the people around them. They had the expert answers to all the legal questions. Now, if you're with us last week, you maybe remember me saying, in relation to Naomi becoming a widow in Moab, that things didn't look very good for her there. Now, while it still would have been difficult for her, had she been widowed in Judah, she would have been better off there. Because at least in Judah, there was this expectation that people should care for widows and orphans. Widows and orphans were some of the vulnerable people in society. And it was the responsibility of others to look out for and care for them. Now, when husbands died and left their wives as widows, there were some legal things that the widows needed to deal with. So the teachers of the law would come to the rescue. And while it was forbidden for the teachers of the law to accept any form of payment for their services, after all, they were supposed to be caring for the widows, many of them still did charge those widows greatly. And not only did they charge for their services, but they found many other ways to profit from the time they spent dealing with the legal matters on behalf of the widows. What were some of the other things they did? Well, they would defraud widows out of what was included in some of the wills. Change a word here, change a number there, and things could look very different very quickly. Some of the teachers of the law would take advantage of the hospitality of widows, in essence, freeloading on them while dealing with the legal matters. While others willingly took payment from the widows after promising to say some prayers on behalf of those widows. So many ways in which the teacher of the law could benefit at the expense of those recently widowed. And yet my understanding is that none of the charges, none of the expenses were ever asked for up front. Because the teachers of the law knew that if it was made clear what they would be charging, then the widows would be declining their services. Instead, the bills would be given to the widows after everything was done. Now the widows owed, and many of them had no way of paying. And so in debt to the teacher of the law, there would only be one option left. The widow would be forced to hand over her house, leaving that widow absolutely destitute. So the widow we have in our passage today, the widow who placed two small coins in the offering plate, very likely she was one of those widows whose house and really everything had been taken from her. Now, the offering plate in the place in the temple was situated in the court of women. That was the place in the temple courts, the kind of the furthest place in that allowed women to be there. And so so in that place, men and women were both permitted, and it was there in that location so that all could participate in making an offering to God. And from that offering, all that came into the temple treasury, the vulnerable, the widows, the orphans, and all those others who were vulnerable, they were meant to be cared for from the offering. So as we go back to the story, we see Jesus kind of sitting down with his disciples opposite the place where people are making their offerings. And it wouldn't have been only Jesus and his disciples there, because it was a frequent spot for many of the teachers of the law to hang out as well as other religious leaders. They sat there so they could watch what people were putting into the offering. And it was easy for them to notice when large amounts were put in, because the offering box, it was made of metal. And it was there was a receptacle. It was kind of a cone-shaped receptacle, also made of metal. So people would put coins into this receptacle. They would slide down. And if it was a lot of money, then it would kind of get clogged up at the bottom and then start making noise, banging into dropping into the box at the bottom. I mean, there was no paper money back then, so any coins, you could be hearing the coin sliding down that coin-shaped receptacle and going into the container. And you know what? When large amounts were put in, I can just imagine, for many of the religious leaders of the day, there was probably a twinkle in their eye, because they knew that that meant more money for the temple treasury. They would have been impressed by the rich who gave from their leftovers. But you know, I doubt they would have even really have noticed when a widow put in two copper coins. Wouldn't have made much noise. And if they did notice, they probably clicked their tongues in disapproval. You know, the more I reflect on this passage, the more I'm not convinced that for Jesus, this was about how much the widow gave in comparison to the rich people around her. I'm not convinced this is about proportional giving. I think Jesus was focusing on something far more significant. Like, why was that widow in that situation in the first place? Why did she only have two copper coins to her name? If we go back to last week's gospel passage, where the teacher of the law asked Jesus, what were the most important laws? And we think back to the answer Jesus gave him. He talked about loving God and loving neighbor as self. I think here we have Jesus giving some more detail to what he was meaning. I mean, it's all well and good for somebody to say that they love God with their whole being. It's all well and good for somebody to believe that they love people around them. But if those same people are going to turn a blind eye to injustice, if they're going to turn a blind eye to the vulnerable people around them, then it's not just the system that's messed up, but it's that they are part of the problem. The system should have been caring for the widow. The community should have been caring for the widow. The believers should have been caring for the widow. And yet the widow had been left to fend for herself. The system wasn't being challenged, by those who could affect change. Why? Well, probably because it would have cost those people. It would have meant that they might have to forego some of that which might have otherwise been coming to them. And isn't that still the case for so many of us today? We're not willing to challenge the system. We're not willing to point out injustices, either because those injustices, they don't affect us. They affect other people. Or because by challenging those injustices, we run the risk that with that injustice being corrected, we, in fact, might have to give up the way in which that injustice actually benefits us. Jesus talked to the teacher of the law last week about loving neighbor as you love yourself. But sadly, too many people back then, sadly, too many of us today are fine when it comes to loving ourselves, but deficient when it comes to really loving our neighbor. And what do I mean by really loving our neighbor? I mean loving in such a way that our neighbor actually knows, actually experiences in real ways the love that we have for them. Our loving words are nothing if they're not incarnated. They're not enfleshed. If they aren't made visible in some meaningful way. The teacher of the law, watching that day by the temple treasury, they would have clicked their tongues at the offering of the poor widow. But as far as Jesus was concerned, when it came to God's kingdom, it was they who had more reason to be concerned. They had allowed the perpetuation of injustice and turned a blind eye to those in need. So I want to leave you with some questions to reflect on today. And actually, I want to encourage you to be reflecting on them throughout the week. What is Jesus saying to you through our passage today? What is Jesus saying to you? What injustices have you turned a blind eye to because you actually benefit from them? And what is Jesus saying to you about that? What in society needs to be challenged so that the vulnerable can be better cared for? And how might you take an active part in that challenging? What step is God calling you to take this week so that loving your neighbor is actually experienced by your neighbor? May our passage sink deep into us this day. May we hear God's call to look out for the vulnerable and to become advocates for them. May our faith inform our living, that we might be part of the solution rather than part of the problem. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love for us. We thank you that you care for us, that you care for the vulnerable. We thank you that you long for justice. You long for equality. Lord, there are times when injustices benefit us, and so we just go along with them. But Lord, we want you to be changing our hearts, working within us. Help us to have the heart of Jesus as we look out on the needs of the world. And help us to reach out to those who are oppressed and vulnerable, to reach out in your name. All these things we ask in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.